Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing by Judy Blume. Chapter 1. The Big Winner. I won dribble at Jimmy Fargo's birthday party. All the other guys got to take home goldfish in little plastic bags. I won him because I guessed there were 348 jelly beans in Mrs. Fargo's jar. Really, there were 423, she told us later. Still, my guess was closest. Peter Warren Hatcher is the big winner, Mrs. Fargo announced. At first, I felt bad that I didn't get a goldfish, too. Then Jimmy handed me a glass bowl. Inside, there was some water and three rocks. A tiny green turtle was sleeping on the biggest rock. All the other guys looked at their goldfish. I knew what they were thinking. They wished they could have tiny green turtles, too. I named my turtle Dribble while I was walking home from Jimmy's party. I live at 25 West 68th Street. It's an old apartment building, but it's got one of the best elevators in New York City. There are mirrors all around. You can see yourself from every angle. There's a soft, cushioned bench to sit on if you're too tired to stand. The elevator operator's name is Henry Bevelheimer. He lets us call him Henry because Bevelheimer's very hard to say. Our apartment's on the 12th floor, but I don't have to tell Henry. He already knows. He knows everybody in the building. He's that smart. He even knows I'm 9 and in 4th grade. I showed him Dribble right away. I won him at a birthday party, I said. Henry smiled. Your mother's going to be surprised. Henry was right. My mother was really surprised. Her mouth opened when I said, "Just look at what I won at Jimmy Fargo's birthday party." I held up my tiny green turtle. I've already named him. Dribble. Isn't that a great name for a turtle? My mother made a face. I don't like the way he smells, she said. What do you mean? I asked. I put my nose right down close to him. I didn't smell anything but turtle. So Dribble smells like a turtle, I thought. Well, he's supposed to. That's what he is. And I'm not going to take care of him either, my mother added. Of course you're not, I told her. He's my turtle, and I'm the one who's going to take care of him. You're going to change his water and clean out his bowl and feed him and all of that? She asked. Yes, I said, and even more. I'm going to see to it that he's happy. This time my mother made a funny noise, like a groan. I went into my bedroom. I put Dribble on top of my dresser. I tried to pet him and tell him he would be happy living with me. But it isn't easy to pet a turtle. They aren't soft and furry, and they don't lick you or anything. Still, I had my very own pet at last. Later, when I sat down at the dinner table, my mother said, "I smell turtle. Peter, go and scrub your hands." Some people might think that my mother is my biggest problem. She doesn't like turtles, and she's always telling me to scrub my hands. That doesn't mean just run them under the water. Scrub means I'm supposed to use soap and rub my hands together. Then I've got to rinse and dry them. I ought to know by now. I've heard it enough. But my mother isn't my biggest problem. Neither is my father. He spends a lot of time watching commercials on TV. That's because he's in the advertising business. These days, his favorite commercial is the one about Juicio. He wrote it himself. And the president of the Juicio company liked it so much, he sent my father a whole crate of Juicio for our family to drink. It tastes like a combination of oranges, pineapples, grapefruits, pears, and bananas. And if you want to know the truth, I'm getting pretty sick of drinking it. But Juicio isn't my biggest problem either. My biggest problem is my brother, Farley Drexel Hatcher. He's 2.5 years old. Everybody calls him Fudge. I feel sorry for him if he's going to grow up with a name like Fudge, but I don't say a word. It's none of my business. Fudge is always in my way. He messes up everything he sees. And when he gets mad, he throws himself flat on the floor and he screams. And he kicks. And he bangs his fists. The only time I really like him is when he's sleeping. He sucks four fingers on his left hand and makes a slurping noise. When Fudge saw Dribble, he said, "Ooh, see?" And I said, "That's my turtle. Get it? Mine. You don't touch him." Fudge said, "No touch." Then he laughed like crazy. Chapter 2. Mr. and Mrs. Juicio. One night, my father came home from the office all excited. He told us Mr. and Mrs. Yarby were coming to New York. He's the president of the Juicio Company. He lives in Chicago. I wondered if he'd bring my father another crate of Juicio. If he did, I'd probably be drinking it for the rest of my life. Just thinking about it was enough to make my stomach hurt. My father said he invited Mr. and Mrs. Yarby to stay with us. My mother wanted to know why they couldn't stay at a hotel like most people who come to New York. My father said they could, but he didn't want them to. He thought they'd be more comfortable staying with us. My mother said that was about the silliest thing she'd ever heard. But she fixed up Fudge's bedroom for our guests. She put fancy sheets and a brand new blanket on the hide-a-bed. That's a sofa that opens up into a bed at night. It's in Fudge's room because that used to be our den. Before he was born, we watched TV in there. And lots of times Grandma slept over on the hide-a-bed. Now we watch TV right in the living room, and Grandma doesn't sleep over very often. My mother moved Fudge's crib into my room. He's going to get a regular bed when he's 3, my mother says. There are a lot of reasons I don't like to sleep in the same room as Fudge. I found that out 2 months ago when my bedroom was being painted. I had to sleep in Fudge's room for 3 nights because the paint smell made me cough. For one thing, he talks in his sleep. And if a person didn't know better, a person could get scared. Another thing is that slurping noise he makes. It's true that I like to hear it when I'm awake, but when I'm trying to fall asleep, I like things very quiet. When I complained about having to sleep with Fudge, my mother said, "It's just for 2 nights, Peter." "I'll sleep in the living room," I suggested. "On the sofa, or even a chair." "No," my mother said. "You will sleep in your bedroom, in your own bed." There was no point in arguing. Mom wasn't going to change her mind. She spent the day in the kitchen. She really cooked up a storm. She used so many pots and pans, Fudge didn't have any left to bang together. And that's one of his favorite pastimes, banging pots and pans together. A person can get an awful headache listening to that racket. Right after lunch, my mother opened up the dinner table. We don't have a separate dining room. When we have company for dinner, we eat in one end of the living room. When Mom finished setting the table, she put a silver bowl filled with flowers right in the middle. I said, "Hey, Mom, it looks like you're expecting the president or something." "Very funny, Peter," my mother answered. Sometimes my mother laughs like crazy at my jokes. Other times, she pretends not to get them. And then there are times when I know she gets them, but she doesn't seem to like them. This was one of those times, so I decided no more jokes until after dinner. I went to Jimmy Fargo's for the afternoon. I came home at 4 o'clock. I found my mother standing over the dinner table mumbling. Fudge was on the floor playing with my father's socks. I'm not sure why he likes socks so much, but if you give him a few pairs, he'll play quietly for an hour. I said, "Hi, Mom, I'm home." "I'm missing 2 flowers, my mother said. I don't know how she noticed that 2 flowers were missing from her silver bowl, because there were at least 12 of them left. But sure enough, when I checked, I saw two stems with nothing on them. Don't look at me, Mom, I said. What would I do with two measly flowers? So we both looked at Fudge. Did you take Mommy's pretty flowers? My mother asked him.
No take, Fudge said. He was chewing on something.
What's in your mouth? My mother asked. Fudge didn't answer. Show Mommy.
No show, Fudge said.
Oh, yes. My mother picked him up and forced his mouth open. She fished out a rose petal. What did you do with Mommy's flowers? She raised her voice. She was really getting upset. Fudge laughed. Tell Mommy.
Yum, Fudge said. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Oh, no, my mother cried, rushing to the telephone. She called Dr. Cohn. She told him that Fudge ate two flowers. Dr. Cohn must have asked what kind, because my mother said, Roses, I think, but I can't be sure. One might have been a daisy. There was a long pause while my mother listened to whatever Dr. Cohn had to say. Then Mom said, Thank you, Dr. Cohn. She hung up. No more flowers, she told Fudge. You understand?
No more, Fudge repeated. No more, no more, no more.
My mother gave him a spoonful of peppermint-flavored medicine, the kind I take when I have stomach pains. Then she carried Fudge off to have his bath. Leave it to my brother to eat flowers. I wondered how they tasted. Maybe they're delicious, and I don't know it, because I've never tasted one, I thought. I decided to find out. I picked off one petal from a pink rose. I put it in my mouth and tried to chew it up. But I couldn't do it. It tasted awful. I spit it out in the garbage. Well, at least now I knew I wasn't missing anything great. Fudge ate his supper in the kitchen before our company arrived. While he was eating, I heard my mother remind him, Fudgy's going to be a good boy tonight. Very good for Daddy's friends.
Good, Fudge said. Good boy.
That's right, my mother told him. I changed and scrubbed up while Fudge finished his supper. I was going to eat with the company.
Being nine has its advantages.
My mother was all dressed up by the time my father got home with the Yarbies. You'd never have guessed that Mom spent most of the day in the kitchen. You'd also never have guessed that Fudge ate two flowers. He was feeling fine. He even smelled nice, like baby powder. Mrs. Yarby picked him up right away. I knew she would. She looked like a grandmother. That type always makes a big deal out of Fudge. She walked into the living room cuddling him. Then she sat down on the sofa and bounced Fudge around on her lap. Isn't he the cutest little boy? Mrs. Yarby said. I just love babies. She gave him a big kiss on the top of his head. I kept waiting for somebody to tell her Fudge was no baby. But no one did. My father carried the Yarby suitcase into Fudge's room. When he came back, he introduced me to our company.
This is our older son, Peter, he said to the Yarbies.
I'm nine and in fourth grade, I told them.
How do, Peter? Mr. Yarby said.
Mrs. Yarby just gave me a nod. She was still busy with Fudge.
I have a surprise for this dear little boy, she said. It's in my suitcase. Should I go get it?
Yes, Fudge shouted. Go get! Go get!
Mrs. Yarby laughed as if that was the best joke she ever heard.
I'll be right back, she told Fudge.
She put him down and ran off to find her suitcase. She came back carrying a present tied with a red ribbon.
Oh, Fudge cried, opening his eyes wide. Goody!
He clapped his hands. Mrs. Yarby helped him unwrap his surprise. It was a wind-up train that made a lot of noise. Every time it bumped into something, it turned around and went the other way. Fudge liked it a lot. He likes anything that's noisy. I said,
That's a nice train.
Mrs. Yarby turned to me.
Oh, I have something for you, too.
Peter, I reminded her.
My name is Peter.
Yes. Well, I'll go get it.
Mrs. Yarby left the room again. This time she came back with a flat package. It was wrapped up, too, red ribbon and all. She handed it to me. Fudge stopped playing with his train long enough to come over and see what I got. I took off the paper very carefully, in case my mother wanted to save it, and also to show Mrs. Yarby that I'm a lot more careful about things than my brother. I'm not sure she noticed. My present turned out to be a big picture dictionary, the kind I liked when I was about 4 years old. My old one is in Fudge's bookcase now.
I don't know much about big boys, Mrs. Yarby said. So the lady in the store said a nice book would be a good idea.
A nice book would have been a good idea, I thought. But a picture dictionary? That's for babies. I've had my own regular dictionary since I was 8. But I knew I had to be polite, so I said, "Thank you very much. It's just what I've always wanted."
"I'm so glad,"
Mrs. Yarby said. She let out a long sigh and sat back on the sofa. My father offered the Yarbys a drink.
"Good idea, good idea," Mr. Yarby said.
"What'll it be?" my father asked.
"What'll it be?" Mr. Yarby repeated, laughing. "What do you think, Hatcher? It'll be juicy-o. That's all we ever drink. Good for your health."
Mr. Yarby pounded his chest.
"Of course," my father said, like he knew it all along. "Juicy-o for everyone," my father told my mother.
She went into the kitchen to get it. While my father and Mr. Yarby were discussing juicy-o, Fudge disappeared. Just as my mother served everyone a glass of Mr. Yarby's favorite drink, he came back. He was carrying a book. My old, worn-out picture dictionary, the same as the one the Yarbys just gave me.
"See?"
Fudge said, climbing up on Mrs. Yarby's lap.
"See book?"
I wanted to vanish. I think my mother and father did, too.
"See book?"
Now Fudge held it up over his head. "I can use another one," I explained. I really can. That old one is falling apart." I tried to laugh.
"It's returnable," Mrs. Yarby said. "It's silly to keep it if you already have one."
She sounded insulted, like it was my fault she brought me something I already had.
"Mine," Fudge said.
He closed the book and held it tight against his chest.
"Mine, mine, mine."
"It's the thought that counts," my mother said. "It was so nice of you to think of our boys." Then she turned to Fudge. "Put the book away now, Fudgy."
"Isn't it Fudgy's bedtime?" my father hinted.
"Oh, yes, I think it is," my mother said, scooping him up. "Say good night, Fudgy."
"Good night, Fudgy,"
my brother said, waving at us. Fudge was supposed to fall asleep before we sat down to dinner, but just in case, my mother put a million little toys in his crib to keep him busy. I don't know who my mother thought she was fooling, because we all know that Fudge can climb out of his crib any old time he wants to. He stayed away until we were in the middle of our roast beef. Then he came in carrying Dribble's bowl. He walked right up to Mrs. Yarby. He thought she was his new friend.
"See," he said, holding Dribble under her nose. "See Dribble?"
Mrs. Yarby shrieked,
"Oh, I can't stand reptiles. Get that thing away from me."
Fudge looked disappointed, so he showed Dribble to Mr. Yarby.
"See," he said.
"Hatcher," Mr. Yarby boomed, "make him get that thing out of here."
I wondered why Mr. Yarby called my father Hatcher. Didn't he know his first name was Warren? And I didn't like the way Mr. and Mrs. Yarby both called Dribble a thing. I jumped up. "Give him to me," I told Fudge. I took Dribble and his bowl and marched into my room. I inspected my turtle all over. He seemed all right. I didn't want to make a big scene in front of our company, but I was mad. I mean, really mad. That kid knows he's not allowed to touch my turtle.
"Peter," my father called, "come and finish your dinner."
When I got back to the table, I heard Mrs. Yarby say, "It must be interesting to have children. We never had any ourselves."
"But if we did," Mr. Yarby told my father, "we'd teach them some manners. I'm a firm believer in old-fashioned good manners."
"So are we, Howard," my father said in a weak voice.
I thought Mr. Yarby had a lot of nerve to hint that we had no manners. Didn't I pretend to like their dumb old pictured dictionary? If that isn't good manners, then I don't know what is.
My mother excused herself and carried Fudge back to my room. I guess she put him into his crib again. I hoped she told him to keep his hands off my things. We didn't hear from him again until dessert. Just as my mother was pouring the coffee, he ran in wearing my rubber gorilla mask from last Halloween. It's a very real-looking mask. I guess that's why Mrs. Yarby screamed so loud. If she hadn't made so much noise, my mother probably wouldn't have spilled the coffee all over the floor. My father grabbed Fudge and pulled the gorilla mask off him. "That's not funny, Fudge," he said.
"Funny," Fudge laughed. "Funny, funny, funny, Fudgy."
"Yes, sir, Hatcher," Mr. Yarby said. "Old-fashioned manners."
By that time, I'm sure my father was sorry the Yarbys weren't staying at a hotel. I finally got to bed at 10. Fudge was in his crib, slurping away. I thought I'd never fall asleep, but I guess I did. I woke up once when Fudge started babbling. He said,
"Buba, mamam, habashi,"
whatever that means. I didn't even get scared. I whispered, "Shut up," and he did. Early the next morning, I felt something funny on my arm. At first, I didn't wake up. I just felt this little tickle. I thought it was part of my dream. But then I had the feeling somebody was staring at me, so I opened my eyes. Fudge was standing over me, and Dribble was crawling around on my arm. I guess Fudge could tell I was about ready to kill him because he bent down and kissed me. That's what he does when my mother's angry at him. He thinks nobody can resist him when he makes himself so lovable, and a lot of times it works with my mother, but not with me. I jumped up, put Dribble back into his bowl, and smacked Fudge on his backside. Hard. He hollered. My father came running into my room. He was still in his pajamas. He whispered, "What's going on in here?" I pointed at Fudge, and he pointed at me. My father picked up my brother and carried him off. "Go back to sleep, Peter," he said. "It's only 6 o'clock in the morning." I fell asleep for another hour, then woke up to an awful noise. It was Fudge playing with his new train. He woke up everybody, including the Yarbys. But this time, there was nobody they could blame. They were the ones who gave Fudge the train in the first place. Breakfast was a very quiet affair. Nobody had much to say. Mr. Yarby drank 2 glasses of Juicio. Then he told my father that he and Mrs. Yarby had their suitcase packed. They were leaving for a hotel as soon as breakfast was over. My father said he understood, that the apartment was too small for so many people. My mother didn't say anything. When Mr. Yarby went into Fudge's bedroom to pick up his suitcase, his voice boomed, "Hatcher!" My father ran toward the bedroom. My mother and Mrs. Yarby followed him. I followed them. When we got there, we saw Fudge sitting on the Yarby suitcase. He had decorated it with about 100 green stamps, the kind my mother gets at the supermarket.
"See?" Fudge said. "See? Pretty."
He laughed. Nobody else did. Then he licked the last green stamp and stuck it right in the middle of the suitcase.
"All gone," Fudge sang, holding up his hands.
It took my mother half an hour to peel off her trading stamps and clean up the Yarby suitcase. The next week, my father came home from the office and collected all the cans of Juicio in our house. He dumped them into the garbage.
My mother felt bad that my father had lost such an important account. But my father told her not to worry. Juicio wasn't selling very well at the stores. Nobody seemed to like the combination of oranges, grapefruits, pineapples, pears, and bananas.
"You know, Dad," I said, "I only drank Juicio to be polite. I really hated it."
"You know something funny, Peter?"
my father said.
"I thought it was pretty bad myself."
Chapter 3. The Family Dog. Nobody ever came right out and said that fudge was the reason my father lost the Juicio account, but I thought about it. My father said he was glad to be rid of Mr. Yarby. Now he could spend more time on his other clients, like the Toddle Bike Company. My father is in charge of their new TV commercial. I thought maybe he could use me in it, since I know how to stand on my head. But he said he wasn't planning on having any headstanders in the commercial. I learned to stand on my head in gym class. I'm pretty good at it, too. I can stay up for as long as 3 minutes. I showed my mother, my father, and Fudge how I can do it, right in the living room. They were all impressed, especially Fudge. He wanted to do it, too, so I turned him upside down and tried to teach him. But he always tumbled over backwards. Right after I learned to stand on my head, Fudge stopped eating. He did it suddenly. One day he ate fine, and the next day nothing. "No eat," he told my mother. She didn't pay too much attention to him until the third day. When he still refused to eat, she got upset. "You've got to eat, Fudgy," she said. "You want to grow up to be big and strong, don't you?"
"No grow," Fudge said.
That night, my mother told my father how worried she was about Fudge. So my father did tricks for him while my mother stood over his chair, trying to get some food into his mouth. But nothing worked, not even juggling oranges. Finally, my mother got the brilliant idea of me standing on my head while she fed Fudge. I wasn't very excited about standing on my head in the kitchen. The floor is awfully hard in there. But my mother begged me. She said, "It's very important for Fudge to eat. Please help us, Peter." So I stood on my head. When Fudge saw me upside down, he clapped his hands and laughed. When he laughs, he opens his mouth. That's when my mother stuffed some baked potato into it. But the next morning, I put my foot down. "No, I don't want to stand in my head in the kitchen or anywhere else," I added. "And if I don't hurry, I'll be late for school." "Don't you care if your brother starves?"
"No,"
I told her. "Peter, what an awful thing to say."
"Oh, he'll eat when he gets hungry. Why don't you just leave him alone?"
That afternoon, when I came home from school, I found my brother on the kitchen floor playing with boxes of cereals and raisins and dried apricots. My mother was begging him to eat.
"No, no, no," Fudge shouted.
He made a terrible mess, dumping everything on the floor.
"Please stand on your head, Peter," my mother said. "It's the only way he'll eat."
"No," I told her. "I'm not going to stand on my head anymore." I went into my room and slammed the door. I played with Dribble until supper time. Nobody ever worries about me the way they worry about Fudge. If I decided not to eat, they'd probably never even notice. That night during dinner, Fudge hid under the kitchen table. He said,
"I'm a doggie. Woof, woof, woof."
It was hard to eat with him under the table pulling on my legs. I waited for my father to say something, but he didn't. Finally, my mother jumped up.
"I know," she said. "If Fudgy's a doggie, he wants to eat on the floor, right?"
If you ask me, Fudge never even thought about that. But he liked the idea a lot. He barked and nodded his head. So my mother fixed his plate and put it under the table. Then she reached down and petted him, like he was a real dog. My father said, "Aren't we carrying this a little too far?" My mother didn't answer. Fudge ate 2 bites of his dinner. My mother was satisfied.
After a week of having him eat under the table, I felt like we really did have a family dog. I thought how great it would be if we could trade in Fudge for a nice Cocker Spaniel. That would solve all my problems. I'd walk him and feed him and play with him. He could even sleep on the edge of my bed at night. But of course that was wishful thinking. My brother is here to stay, and there's nothing much I can do about it. Grandma came over with a million ideas about getting Fudge to eat. She tricked him by making milkshakes in the blender. When Fudge wasn't looking, she threw in an egg. Then she told him if he drank it all up, there would be a surprise in the bottom of the glass. The first time, he believed her. He finished his milkshake. But all he saw was an empty glass. There wasn't any surprise. Fudge got so mad he threw the glass down. It smashed into little pieces. After that, Grandma left. The next day, my mother dragged Fudge to Dr. Cone's office. He told her to leave him alone, that Fudge would eat when he got hungry. I reminded my mother that I'd told her the same thing, and for free. But I guess my mother didn't believe either one of us, because she took Fudge to see three more doctors. None of them could find a thing wrong with my brother. One doctor even suggested that my mother cook Fudge his favorite foods. So that night, my mother broiled lamb chops just for Fudge. The rest of us ate stew. She served him the two little lamb chops on his plate under the table. Just the smell of them was enough to make my stomach growl. I thought it was mean of my mother to make them for Fudge and not for me. Fudge looked at his lamb chops for a few minutes. Then he pushed his plate away.
"No," he said. "No chops."
"Fudgy, you'll starve," my mother cried. "You must eat."
"No chops. Cornflakes," Fudge said. "Want cornflakes."
My mother ran to get the cereal for Fudge. "You can eat the chops if you want them, Peter," she told me. I reached down and helped myself to the lamb chops. My mother handed Fudge his bowl of cereal. But he didn't eat it. He sat at my feet and looked up at me. He watched me eat his chops.
"Eat your cereal," my father said.
"No. No, eat cereal," Fudge yelled.
My father was really mad. His face turned bright red. He said,
"Fudge, you will eat that cereal or you will wear it."
This was turning out to be fun after all, I thought. And the lamb chops were really tasty. I dipped the bone in some ketchup and chewed away. Fudge messed around with his cereal for a minute. Then he looked at my father and said,
"No eat. No eat. No eat."
My father wiped his mouth with his napkin, pushed back his chair, and got up from the table. He picked up the bowl of cereal in one hand and Fudge in the other. He carried them both into the bathroom. I went along, nibbling on a bone, to see what was going to happen. My father stood Fudge in the tub and dumped the whole bowl of cereal right over his head. Fudge screamed. He sure can scream loud. My father motioned for me to go back to the kitchen. He joined us in a minute. We sat down and finished our dinner. Fudge kept on screaming. My mother wanted to go to him, but my father told her to stay where she was. He'd had enough of Fudge's monkey business at mealtimes. I think my mother was relieved that my father had taken over. For once my brother got what he deserved, and I was glad. The next day, Fudge sat at the table again, in his little red booster chair where he belongs. He ate everything my mother put in front of him.
"No more doggy,"
he told us. And for a long time after that, his favorite expression was,
"Eat it or wear it."
Chapter 4. My Brother the Bird. We live near Central Park. On nice days, I like to play there after school. I'm allowed to walk over by myself as long as I'm going to be with friends. My mother doesn't want me hanging around the park alone. For one thing, Jimmy Fargo has been mugged 3 times, twice for his bicycle and once for his money, only he didn't have any money to give the muggers. I've never been mugged, but sooner or later I probably will be. My father's told me what to do. Give the muggers whatever they want and try not to get hit on the head. Sometimes, after you're mugged, you get to go to police headquarters. You look at a bunch of pictures of crooks to see if you can recognize the guys that mugged you. I think it would be neat to look at all those pictures. It's not that I want to get mugged, because that could be really scary. It's just that Jimmy Fargo's always talking about his visit to police headquarters. My father got mugged once in a subway by two girls and a guy. They took his wallet and his briefcase. He still travels around by subways, but my mother doesn't. She sticks to buses and taxis. Both my mother and my father are always warning me never to talk to strangers in the park, because a lot of dope pushers hang around there. But taking dope is even dumber than smoking, so nobody's going to hook me. We live on the west side of the park. If I want to get to the zoo in the pony carts, I have to walk all the way through to the east side. Sometimes my mother walks across the park with Fudge. He likes the animals a lot, especially the monkeys. He also likes the helium-filled balloons, but as soon as my mother buys him one, he lets it go. I think he likes to see it float up in the sky. My mother says that's a waste of money, and she's not going to buy him any more balloons until he promises not to let go. On Sundays, the park is closed to traffic, and you can ride your bicycle all over without worrying about being run down by some crazy driver. Even Fudge can ride. He has a little blue toddle bike, a present from my father's client. And when he's riding, he makes motorcycle noises. Vroom, 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 he yells. In the fall, the leaves turn darker and drop off the trees. Sometimes there are big leaf piles on the ground. It's fun to jump around in them. I never saw bright red, yellow, and orange leaves until the day my father took us for a drive in the country. The reason the leaves don't turn bright colors in New York is the air pollution. And that's too bad, because yellow and orange and red leaves look really neat. One nice sunny afternoon, I called for Jimmy Fargo, and we went to the park. Jimmy is the only kid on my block who's in my class at school, unless you count Sheila. And I don't. She lives in my building on the 10th floor. Henry, the elevator operator, is always making jokes about me and Sheila. He thinks we like each other. The truth is, I can't stand her. She's a real know-it-all. But I've discovered that most girls are. The worst thing about Sheila is the way she's always trying to touch me. And when she does, she yells, "Peter's got the cooties. Peter's got the cooties." I don't believe in cooties anymore. When I was in second grade, I used to examine myself to see if I had them, but I never found any. By fourth grade, most kids give up on cooties, but not Sheila. She's still going strong, so I have to keep a safe distance from her. My mother thinks Sheila is the greatest. "She's so smart," my mother says, "and someday she's going to be a real beauty." Now that's the funniest, because Sheila looks a lot like the monkeys that Fudge is so crazy about. So maybe she'll look beautiful to some ape, but never to me. Me and Jimmy have this special group of rocks where we like to play when we're in the park. We play secret agent up there. Jimmy can imitate all kinds of foreign accents, probably because his father's a part-time actor. When he's not acting, he teaches a class at City College. Today, when we got to our rocks, who should be perched up there but Sheila? She was pretending to read a book, but I think she was just waiting for me and Jimmy to find out what we'd do when we found her on our own personal rocks. "Hey, Sheila," I said, "those are our rocks."
"Says who?"
she asked. "Come on, Sheila," Jimmy said, climbing up. "You know me and Peter hang out here."
"Too bad for you," Sheila said.
"Oh, Sheila," I shouted, "go and find yourself another rock."
"I like this one," she said, as if she owned the park. "So why don't you two go find another rock?"
Just then, who should come tearing down the path but Fudge? My mother was right behind him, hollering,
"Fudgy, wait for Mummy."
But when Fudge gets going, he doesn't wait for anybody. He was after some pigeons.
Birdie! Here, Birdie! He called.
That brother of mine loves birds, but he can't get it through his head that the birds aren't about to let him catch them.
Hi, Mom, I said.
My mother stopped running. Peter! Oh, am I glad to see you! I can't keep up with Fudge.
Mrs. Hatcher! Mrs. Hatcher! Sheila called, scrambling down from our rock. I'll watch Fudge for you. I'll take very good care of him. Can I, Mrs. Hatcher? Oh, please!
Sheila jumped up and down and begged some more. Jimmy gave me an elbow in the ribs. He thought that my mother would let Sheila watch Fudge, and then we'd be rid of her. We'd be free to play secret agent. But Jimmy didn't know that my mother would never trust Sheila with her dear little boy. Fudge, in the meantime, was screaming,
Come back, birdies! Come back to Fudgy!
Then my mother did a strange thing. She checked her watch and said, You know, I do have to run back to the apartment. I forgot to turn on the oven. Do you really think you could keep an eye on Fudge for just 10 minutes?
Of course I can, Mrs. Hatcher, Sheila said. I know all about babysitting from my sister.
Sheila's sister Libby is in 7th grade. She's about as beautiful as Sheila. The only difference is she's bigger. My mother hesitated.
I don't know, she said. I've never left Fudge before.
She looked at me.
Peter?
What?
Will you and Jimmy help Sheila watch Fudge while I run home for a minute?
Oh, Mom, do we have to?
Please, Peter, I'll be right back. I'll feel better if all three of you are watching him.
What do you say?
I asked Jimmy.
Sure, he answered. Why not?
But I'm in charge of Fudgy, aren't I? Sheila asked my mother.
Well, I guess so, my mother said to Sheila. You probably do know more about babysitting.
Why don't you all take Fudge over to the playground? Then I'll know where to find you.
Swell, Mrs. Hatcher, Sheila said. Don't you worry. Fudgy will be just fine.
My mother turned to Fudge. Now you be a good boy for 10 minutes. Mommy will be right back, okay?
Good boy, Fudge said. Good, good, good.
As soon as my mother was gone, Fudge took off.
Can't catch me, he hollered. Can't catch Fudgy.
Go get him, Sheila, I said. You're in charge, remember? Me and Jimmy horsed around while Sheila ran after Fudge. When she caught him, we decided we'd better go to the playground like my mother said. It was a lot easier to keep an eye on him in a smaller place. Anyway, Fudge likes to climb on the jungle gym, and that way he can't get lost. As soon as we got to the playground, Sheila started chasing me.
Peter's got the cooties, Peter's got the cooties, she yelled.
Cut that out, I said.
So she chased Jimmy.
Jimmy's got the cooties, Jimmy's got the cooties.
Me and Jimmy decided to fight back. So what if she's a girl? She started it. We grabbed her by the arms. She squirmed and tried to get away from us, but we wouldn't let go. We hollered really loud.
Sheila's got the cooties, Sheila's got the cooties.
All three of us were so busy fooling around that we didn't notice Fudge up on the jungle gym until he called,
Peter, Peter.
That's how he says my name.
What?
I asked.
See? See?
Fudge flapped his arms around.
Fudgy's a birdie. Fudgy's a birdie. Fly, birdie. Fly.
That crazy kid, I thought, running to the jungle gym with Jimmy and Sheila right behind me. But it was too late. Fudge already found out he didn't have wings. He fell to the ground. He was screaming and crying, and his face was a mess of blood. I couldn't even tell where the blood was coming from at first. Then Jimmy handed me his handkerchief. I don't know how clean it was, but it was better than nothing. I mopped some blood off Fudge's face.
Sheila cried. It wasn't my fault, honest. It wasn't.
Oh, shut up, I told her.
He's really a mess, Jimmy said, inspecting Fudge. And his teeth are gone, too.
What are you talking about? I asked Jimmy. Look in his mouth, Jimmy said. Now, while he's screaming, see? He's got a big space where he used to have his front teeth.
Oh, no, Sheila screamed. He's right. Fudgy's teeth are gone.
Fudge stopped crying for a minute.
all gone? He asked.
Open your mouth wide, I said. He did, and I looked in. It was true. His top two front teeth were missing. My mother's going to kill you, Sheila, I said. Was I glad I wasn't left in charge of my brother?
Sheila cried louder. But it was an accident. He did it himself. Himself.
You better find his teeth, I said.
Where should I look? Sheila asked.
On the ground, stupid. Sheila crawled around looking for Fudge's teeth while I tried to clean him up some more.
See? Fudge said, showing me all his wounds. Boo-boo here. And here. More boo-boo here.
His knees and elbows were all scraped up. I'm going to get your mother, Jimmy hollered, running out of the playground. Good idea, I called.
I just can't find them, Sheila said.
Well, keep looking, I yelled.
Honestly, Peter, there aren't any teeth here.
All gone?
Fudge asked again. Not all, I told him, just two. Fudge started to scream.
Want my teeth? Want my teeth?
Jimmy must have met my mother on her way back to the park, because it only took about 2 minutes for her to get there. By that time, a whole crowd of kids had gathered around us. Most of them were crawling on the ground like Sheila, looking for Fudge's teeth. My mother picked up Fudge.
Oh, my baby! My precious! My little love!
She kissed him all over.
Show Mommy where it hurts.
Fudge showed her all his boo-boos. Then he said,
all gone. What's all gone? My mother asked.
His top two front teeth, I said.
Oh, no, my mother cried. Oh, my poor little angel.
Sheila sniffled and said,
I just can't find them, Mrs. Hatcher. I've looked everywhere, but Fudge's teeth are gone.
He must have swallowed them, my mother said, looking into Fudge's mouth.
Oh, Mrs. Hatcher, how awful. I'm sorry. I'm really very sorry, Sheila cried. What will happen to him?
He'll be all right, Sheila, my mother said. I'm sure it was an accident. Nobody's blaming you. Sheila started bawling again. My mother said, let's go home now. I thought my mother was being pretty easy on Sheila. After all, she was left in charge. When we got home, Mom washed Fudge's cuts and scrapes with peroxide. Then she called Dr. Cohn. He told her to take Fudge to our dentist. So my mother called Dr. Brown's office and made an appointment for the next day. When that was done, she gave Fudge some socks to play with. I went into the kitchen to have a glass of juice. My mother followed me.
Peter Warren Hatcher, she said. I'm sorry that I can't trust you for just 10 minutes.
Me? I asked. Trust me? What's this got to do with me?
My mother raised her voice.
I left your brother with you for 10 minutes, and just look at what happened. I'm disgusted with you.
It was Sheila's fault, I said. You said Sheila was in charge, so how come you're mad at me and not at Sheila?
I just am, my mother shouted. I ran to my room and slammed the door.
I watched Dribble walk around on his favorite rock. My mother's the meanest mother in the whole world, I told my turtle. She loves Fudge more than me. She doesn't even love me anymore. She doesn't even like me. Maybe I'm not her real son. Maybe somebody left me in a basket on her doorstep. My real mother's probably a beautiful princess. I'll bet she'd like to have me back. Nobody needs me around here. That's for sure. I didn't eat much supper that night, and I had a lot of trouble falling asleep. The next morning, my mother came into my room and sat down on my bed. I didn't look at her.
Peter, she said.
I didn't answer.
Peter, I said some things yesterday that I didn't really mean.
I looked at her.
Honest? I asked.
Yes.
You see, I was very upset over Fudge's accident, and I had to blame somebody. So I picked on you.
Yes, I said, you sure did. It wasn't your fault, though. I know that. It was an accident.
It could have happened even if I had been in the playground myself.
He wanted to fly, I said. He thought he was a bird.
I don't think he'll try to fly again, my mother said.
Me neither, I told her.
Then we both laughed, and I knew she was my real mother after all.
Chapter 5. The Birthday Bash. I got used to the way Fudge looked without his top front teeth. He looked like a very small first grader. Dr. Brown, our dentist, said he'd have to wait until he was 6 or 7 to get his grown-up teeth. I started calling him Fang, because when he smiles, all you can see are the top 2 side teeth next to the big space, so it looks like he has fangs. My mother didn't like that.
I want you to stop calling him Fang, she told me.
What should I call him? I asked.
Farley Drexel?
Just plain Fudge will be fine, my mother said.
What's wrong with Farley Drexel? I asked. How come you named him that if you don't like it?
I like it fine, my mother said, but right now we call him Fudge. Not Farley, not Drexel, and not Fang.
What's wrong with Fang? I asked. I think it sounds neat.
Fang is an insult.
Oh, come on, Mom. He doesn't even know what a fang is,